And so I just want to use this time this morning to encourage you and thank you for your faithfulness to our church. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18, 19, and 20, last three verses. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Father, help us to hear the call and help us to be obedient to the heavenly calling. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So something a little different for you this morning. Usually, our main thing is a Bible teaching on Sunday morning. It's the heart and soul of Victory Christian Fellowship. God inspired my heart many years ago to believe that the Bible is His Word. And if we would make choices that are in line with it, if we would line up with it, we would live by the Word of God, that God would watch over us, care for us, bless us, save us, that things would go well for us. Not everything perfectly, of course, but, we would not experience a lot of things that you and I, quite frankly, experience because of the poor choices that we make. Thank you for both of you. The rest of you make poor choices as well. You just don't have the guts to admit it here this morning, right? Okay, so we make right choices. Things go well for us. But this morning I want to do something, as I said, just a little bit different. The Great Commission is here in these verses of Scripture, and it tells us that every believer needs to be a part of going to all the world and telling the world about Jesus Christ. Not just every individual believer, but I believe every church has that responsibility. And obviously, because the gospel message is the greatest message that any person can ever hear. You know, as I was thinking about these things today and all of these ministries I want to share with you about this morning, there are a lot of organizations, let's put it that way, a lot of organizations in our world today that do a lot of good works. And that's good. But how many of you know a good work won't save your soul? And no matter how many good works organizations are doing, those good works are not getting anybody into heaven. And it's why when we look at ministries that we're going to support as outreach ministries for our church, for the things that go on beyond the walls of this building, we look at ministries who are doing good things for the community or for the world or wherever they are. But one of the primary things we look at is, are they evangelistic? Are they sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Because you can do good works all day long for people, but if you don't tell them about Jesus, you haven't done the ultimate good thing you can do for them, and that's help them get to heaven. You know, we can put people up in Victory House over here for, we can give them a house to live the rest of their lives. We can put a hot meal on the table every day for the rest of their lives. But if they die and go to hell, what good have we really done for those people? I mean, you just can't compare this lifespan, however long it may be, 60, 70, 80 years, to eternity, you see. And our call is to make a difference, to make an eternal difference in people's lives by telling them about Jesus Christ and giving them an opportunity to come into a personal relationship with Him, with the only one who can transform them, save them, bring them into the presence of Almighty God to be with Him forever. It's only by Jesus that that can happen. And so when we look at ministries to support at Victory Christian Fellowship, we look for ministries that are evangelistic and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. I've got a lot of them to share with you and not a whole lot of time. So let me just jump right in here this morning and share with you the ministries that we support at Victory Christian Fellowship and the ministry that takes place. And I want to make this clear to you. You know, from time to time, I stand up here and I tell you about what's happened, and I thank you for your offerings and all that kind of stuff. And I just want to be 100% sure that you know that I'm not just blowing smoke, okay? I am very, very sincere. I mean, when I look at this list of ministries, we got a little church here. What do we got? 30 people maybe in here this morning? And we're looking at a list of ministries, about 10 different ministries that we support regularly on a monthly basis, thousands of dollars every month going to these ministries, and additional as well, and I'll share some of that with you. And it's all because of you. It's all because of your faithful and generous giving to this church that we're able to do all of these things. And so we want to say thank you from the beginning, and hopefully I'll remember to say it at the end as well. But we do so much appreciate your faithfulness to this church. Outreach is a major part of this church. Beyond preaching of the Word of God, outreach is the next big thing for this church. It's one of the reasons that we made the decision to build debt-free. Okay? And this has been my pattern in all of my ministry is to build debt-free. That does two things for us. One thing, if we're going to build debt-free, it means we're going to have to trust the Lord for the finances to do the building. So if we're building debt free and not going out and borrowing money, we got to live by faith, okay? And we got to walk by faith as a church for that money to come in so that we can do the building that we want to do. But then because we have built debt free, and it took us a couple of years to build this building and get it constructed and get into it, but once we are into it, from that point on, we're not paying thousands of dollars every month to a lending institution. Rather, all of that money that we could be making bankers rich with, we're now using for outreach ministry and blessing other people with it in the name of the Lord. So that's the primary reason for our building debt-free. As a result of that, we are able to give away thousands of dollars, even as a little church, every month to ministries both locally and around the world. I want to start with the national ministries that we support and share just a few things with you about them this morning. The first one is Mercy Multiplied, and we talk about them on an occasion, but I want you to understand exactly what that ministry is about. And I've got a little video we're going to show you in just a second. Sean, anytime you want to cue, you're ready. Mercy Ministries was started in 1983 by a lady by the name of Nancy Alcorn. And she has given her life to serve women and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Her whole life. She started a home in Louisiana. She made the decision in 1983 when abortion was, and the church was protesting abortion and all these kind of things, and she made the decision that she was going to do something positive to help people in that situation. And she started a home in, I believe it was Monroe, Louisiana. She started a home there for young girls of her community that because of unwanted pregnancies had been kicked out of their homes. And so she started a home. She opened that home to these girls. She received them at no charge. She told them about Jesus. She told them about their worth in the Lord Jesus Christ. And for nearly four decades now, she's been turning lives around with the gospel of Jesus Christ and the love of Christ. Sean, can you show us this video?
For Mercy, I think probably starting in middle school, I suffered from suicidal ideations and depression. I started really struggling with just depression, anxiety, isolation. I was sleeping around with men. I was, you know, into drugs, selling drugs, was arrested. You know, just complete dysfunction just because all I knew was I had pain inside of me, but I didn't know how to cope with that pain. Every year, every season I walked into, it just became worse and worse until finally, you know, I became pregnant with twins at the age of 19, and I was in an abusive relationship. And so actually I was partying while I was pregnant and suicidal at that point as well. All I knew was you numb pain at all cost and you run to men for safety, validation, and a sense of identity. When I walked through the doors at Mercy, I was like, I want to walk out a different person. And that proved true. Now, the change over time has been more evident than, you know, the initial 9 months. Those 9 months taught me the foundational truths that I needed to be able to walk out my salvation. I do remember sitting with my counselor in a counseling session and her explaining truth to me. Because I previously had read that scripture right before I went into that counseling session that you are truly my disciples if you abide in my word and you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. And I remember sitting down with her and being like, wait, it's that simple? You write down lies you believed and you counteract it with truth and you meditate on it? She was like, yeah, And I was like, I was mind blown. The woman at the well that Jesus sat with, I think I'm about to cry. I learned in that moment, like, I met Jesus, the real Jesus. Like, I met the Jesus that would sit with me when it didn't look pretty, and that would sit beside me while I was in my pain and call something that wasn't as though it were. I met the Father that wanted to extend mercy instead of judgment. I had never heard that before, because what I had been taught was that He's angry and He expects you to perform. But the God I encountered at Mercy was the real God, the true God, the Father of mercy. And encountering His heart on that level changed so much of how I approached Him in our relationship. It has been a journey of healing. It has been seasons of growth. It has been planting new seeds, reaping a harvest later on. You come in with a concept, I'm going to be a completely healed, free person when I walk out. You are free, yes. Jesus has set you free. Now, walking out of old patterns and renewing your mind and healing your heart takes time. He who started a good work in you will complete it. Not you. He'll do it. So I think, you know, life after Mercy is like it is for anybody. It's hard, but you have tools now to overcome any obstacle you face. So
women like Caitlin are the reason we support Mercy Multiply. Second ministry I want to share with you, one you're very familiar with, is Samaritan's Purse. Samaritan's Purse, run by Franklin Graham, an international relief organization. They are all over the world anytime there's a crisis, whether it's an earthquake, a tsunami, a hurricane, a tornado, war, famine, whatever it might be. They are there to minister to people, not to pick sides in any kind of way about any government or anything like that, but just to minister to hurting people and to share Jesus Christ with them. We have been supporting a Samaritan's Purse for a number of years, and you know that we are always, every year, we are involved in the Operation Christmas Child program that they have, the shoeboxes that they take all over the world. And by the way, we already have shoeboxes there. Some people have been asking about them. We went ahead and bought them. We've got them here. If you're interested in picking up boxes and already have some things to pack in some boxes. I want to share with you one more thing. Again, these are all ministries that we support every month financially. And Samaritan's Purse, when they have a special ministry going on, for example, when the war in Ukraine broke out and they set up field hospitals in Ukraine to begin to minister to the refugees that were trying to get out of the country, quite frankly. And while there, they set up field hospitals there and have been ministering to people and their hurts emotionally, physically, and all of these kinds of things. And always, always, always with the gospel of Jesus Christ, telling the people there about our Lord and our Savior. But back to the shoebox thing, you know that, and I know that it gets more expensive every year to pack a shoebox. It takes about $10 to pack the box. It takes $7, $8, $9, $10 or whatever now they're asking every year to ship that box somewhere. And in all honesty, it costs money to ship that box somewhere. But it just costs a lot of money. And so this year they're talking about asking for $10 a box to have enough. I want to throw something out at you this morning. Suppose I knew a way that you could pack more boxes for less money. Would you be interested in that? Thank you. Last year, for example, if you packed two shoeboxes, $10 a box, then $9 a box for postage, for delivery, whatever, you're looking at $38 for two boxes. Well, I have a way where you can pack three boxes for only $30. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to do it this year. I hope we can do it every year. But starting at least this year, for every box you pack, Victory Fellowship is going to pay the shipping charge on that box. So, where last year you packed two boxes for $38, this year you can pack three boxes for $30, save $8, and pack more boxes. So we're going to do that starting this year, and hopefully, as I said, we can continue to do that, to pay that shipping fee on those boxes, because I know it gets to be a burden every year when you do that. I hope we can reach 200 boxes again this year. Before the pandemic, we were well over 200 boxes for the couple of years prior to the pandemic. The last couple of years, we were just under 200, and then last year, like 174. I hope we can get over 200 boxes this year for Samaritan's Purse, with our church paying for all of the shipping charges. And again, you make that possible. The third ministry I want to share with you quickly here is Dwayne Zook and his ministry with Campus Crusade for Christ. These days it's known as Crew. Not sure why they felt they need to change the name. I guess they just want to be cool like everybody else. But they call themselves Crew now. But it's the same ministry. They do the same work. And Dwayne Zook has been with them for probably over 40 years now. When we first met, and how we met Dwayne is the CEO these days of Josh McDowell Ministries. And I don't know if you know who Josh McDowell is. Some people do, some people don't. Josh McDowell is an author, a speaker. He's written over 150 books. Some of the most significant books he's written are Evidence That Demands a Verdict, More Than a Carpenter. We got a book back there. In fact, the little green book that's back there is a flip book with More Than a Carpenter in it. These are books that have printed millions of copies and been sent all over the world that share the gospel of Jesus Christ. When Dwayne started with Josh worked for Campus Crusade, and he traveled in the United States speaking on college campuses. And Dwayne was the point man. He would go ahead. He would set up the schedule. He would find the speaking hall. He would find the motel and the eating establishments. He'd do all that stuff so that when Josh rolled into town, all he needed to do was go in, share his message, and then go back out. And so Dwayne did that for a number of years. He's done some other things as well. Josh McDowell is in his 80s now, doing much less than he used to do. And Dwayne is working with his ministry. They're finding innovative ways to share the curriculum and the literature that Josh McDowell has published over all of these years, and share this literature with ministries and organizations all over the world for no charge. It's amazing how much information you can get on a flash drive and give it to someone else in another part of the world. And that's what he is up to these days. He actually travels in many nations. Many of the old Soviet Union countries, is very familiar with them. He travels in other parts of the nation that he says, "Ken, don't tell people where I'm going this time. I can't let you know." But he's traveled in those kind of places and done that kind of work for the Lord. They just had a what they call Expo 22 in Dallas, Texas, where they had 20,000 young people come to the Cotton Bowl, and they trained them to be disciples for the Lord Jesus just in the last couple of weeks. And again, he coordinates and distributes all of Josh McDowell's literature all over the world. The fourth ministry is Mark McCord. Mark's going to be here in a couple of weeks, another month actually. He'll be here on the 28th of August. We met Mark through some friends of ours who were pastoring down in Appomattox at the time. Then they moved to Dallas, where they're from. They called us back in 91 and they said, "We know a young couple out of Bible school. They're looking for places to minister. Would you be interested in having them coming to your church?" And so I said, "Sure, send them our way. Give them our information." And they called, and Mark and his wife Catherine were coming through, and we had them come to Victory Fellowship and preach for us. We were over at the Fort Hill building over there years ago, and he came and spoke the first time for us over at that church. Mark and his wife actually met on Mercy Ship Anastasis, which is a humanitarian aid ship that takes the gospel around the world. They spent 2 years in Peru. They went back to her native Switzerland. They started a church in Lausanne, Switzerland. Then they started a church in Paris, France. They started another one in Annecy, France. And now they pastor one in Montreux, Switzerland. The church that he's pastored have basically always taken care of he and his family. Our support enables him to travel internationally. He travels throughout Europe. He travels throughout the Middle East. He comes to the United States and he speaks in a Bible college here in the United States and one in Canada. And all of that international travel he's able to do because of our support. And they're always very grateful and thankful to us for it. The fifth ministry is the Shilinsky ministry. And they just went home. You know, they were here for a year. We got to know them through their son. Josh actually came to VCF in 2019. And he came the first Sunday that I was in the hospital after having the brain surgery issue that I went through. And surprisingly, after coming to church that Sunday morning, he came back the next week. And Josh kept coming to the church. And when his family came to the States for sabbatical, they came with Josh to this church. And we got to know them and love them. They have been in Cameroon, Africa since 04, I think it is, about 18 years. And for 15 years, they have run the Helping Hands Children's Home there. They have 38 orphans there that they take care of, not just the natural needs, but emotional and spiritual needs. They disciple them in the things of the Lord. They also oversee a Bible school in that area for the people of the community who want to advance their understanding of the Scriptures. And they are back there now, of course, you know. They got back there on like the 20th or 21st of the month. And 2 days later, they have a gentleman there. They have a couple of nationals that are with them in the orphanage and to serve as sort of a mother and father figure for those orphans. And about 2 days after they got back, the gentleman who serves as a father figure, they call him Pa, and Pa passed away about 2 days after they got back. And so we need to be in prayer for them as they begin to make decisions about moving forward. Before they left the States, I asked them if there were anything specific that they needed help with when they got back. I can't share a lot of information with you, but I can tell you that Cameroon is in civil war, and it is not safe where they live over there. And so they've had to move their family into a safer part of the nation and move the children into another part of the nation. And all of that has become quite expensive for them, remodeling a house for 38 people and then their own home and these kinds of things that they had to do. And so I asked them, and they were sharing a number of needs that they had, at about $4,000 or $5,000 worth of need. I need to tell you just as quickly as I can a little story. Back in the first church that we pastored, we built as we did this church. We did it debt-free. We built as we went along. And we finished off the downstairs, moved into worship, then finished off the upstairs and moved in. Same thing here. At that church, we finished off the downstairs. We're finishing off the upstairs. And we're getting ready. We need carpet for the upstairs, right? And we are flat out of money, and people have just given their hearts out, and it's been wonderful and awesome. But we've come to a roadblock. You know, we've got to have this carpet, and we have no money. We're looking at $7,000 or $8,000 that we need to buy the carpet. And so, you know, we're praying about that and continuing to ask people to give. And we're over at the church one day, and a gentleman came by to visit with us. He had been visiting the church, been worshiping with us for a little while. He's a real estate man who lives out in the Smith Mountain Lake area and had done quite well for himself dealing in real estate out there. And he pulls up and we're talking about the situation and what the needs are at the church and the carpet and the $7 or $8 million. And this individual looked at me and he said, "Go buy your carpet." And he wrote us a check for $8,000 so that we could immediately buy the carpet. And you know, when he did that, I thought to myself, I would like one day to meet somebody with a significant need and be able to tell them, go buy what you need. So when the Shilinskys were telling us about their need, and Becky and I debated on what to do, how to help them, and all these kinds of things, I was reminded of that story. and grateful that we were able to write the Shalinskys a check for $5,000. And tell them, go buy what you need. And again, you have made all of that possible. And we thank you for that. The sixth ministry we want to tell you about is a little known ministry probably around here. Most of you wonder probably what that box is doing in the floor back there next to the book table. And it's got a little sign on it that says Love Packages. And what that ministry is all about, it's a ministry that collects used Christian books, Bibles, magazines, all of these kinds of things, CDs, all of these kinds of things. And they ship them to missionaries all over the world who don't have access to teaching materials or any kind of educational, anything having to do with their Bible education. And so we collect things back there in the back. And let me just say to you, if you get any ministry magazine, a lot of ministries still do a monthly magazine, or you might get Charisma or Christianity Today magazine or anything like that. If you get any kind of magazines like that, or have any Christian books or Bibles or anything like that laying around your house you don't use, bring them and put them in that box back there, and we will send them to Love Packages, and they will send them to missionaries around the world and be a blessing to people who otherwise are not able to purchase things like that on their own. The seventh thing, ministry, I want to share with you today, and I'm going to transition now to local ministries. Those six are international or national ministries that we support. And there are four. I didn't realize there were 10 ministries that we support in the way that we do. There are 10 ministries that this little church supports financially on a regular basis. And I just think that's amazing. The first one I want to share with you today is the one that we do have right here on our own campus, and that's the Victory House Ministry. The vision for the Victory House Ministry, and most of you have heard this, maybe some of you haven't. The Victory House Ministry, the vision for that came back in the 90s. I don't know how it was. Our name is Victory Christian Fellowship. That means back in those days when you had yellow pages, we're at the end of the list of churches. And yet somehow people would find our church when they were in need of financial help, particularly if they've been through an apartment fire or a house fire or something like that. And so from time to time, we were helping people pay motel expenses because they'd had a house fire and their family is living in a motel until they can find something else to do. So I remember, back in the 90s, in the late 90s, I got a phone call here at the church on a Sunday morning, and I told the people I would see them after church that afternoon. I went out to visit with them. It's a motel, and I can never remember the name of it. You guys will know the name of it. You pass it all the time out there on 460. As you go out 460 beyond New London, then there's this long straight stretch, and on the right, there's a little motel that sits out there. And before you get to Pisgah Road there, And that's where these people were staying. And I went out one Sunday after church. And I went into the room and asked the manager where the people were that had had the fire. And he told me, and I went to see the people and went back up to the manager. And we wrote a check to help them for a couple more nights to live in that motel. As I got in the car to come back home, and I made the U-turn to come back down 460 coming back to home, I'm just thinking to myself and kind of half talking to the Lord, I guess, and I'm thinking and I'm saying, you know, there ought to be a place where families can go and stay together when they have a crisis like this. Individuals, they can find a place, you know, an individual who has to leave home for whatever, they can crash on a neighbor's couch, a family member's couch or something like that, but families, they have a little more trouble, and usually what they have to do is they have to farm out their kids to different homes and all this kind of stuff. And I'm just thinking, again, to myself and talking to the Lord a little bit, and I'm just thinking as I'm heading down the highway, there needs to be a house where families can stay together as they go through a crisis like this and not have to be separated and not have to be scattered. There just needs to be a house where families can stay together. And as sure as I'm talking to you, I heard in my spirit, I was impressed in my heart with these words, you build it. And so when we began to plan to build this church, we went before city council and we laid out a site plan and we included a spot for a house to build. We built this church and it took us a couple years and Jim and I were the general contractors essentially for this church. We hired all the subs and all this kind of thing, you know, and it was quite an ordeal, and we were able to get this building built. And 2000, we finished off downstairs, moved in. 2001, we're in upstairs here, and church is finally built. And I know that there's another house we're supposed to build over there. And I'm just done with building. You know, that's not my calling, is to be a builder. It's to be a preacher, a teacher of the Bible. And even back in those days, Jim was volunteering with the police and fire department, and he talked with the fire department one day and was telling them about our desire to build a house where families could stay, but we just didn't have any money and we didn't have the manpower to build a house. The guys at the fire department told Jimmy, they said, "We've always wanted to build a house. We just don't have the money or the place to build a house. But we've always wanted to have a house, because we go and we put out a fire at a person's house and then we drive off and leave them standing on the corner. And we've always wanted a place where we could point them, where we could take them, where they could live while they rebuilt their lives." And so it was that Victory Christian Fellowship became partners with the Lynchburg Fire Department. Members of the Lynchburg Police Department joined in. Tom Gertie Construction, who is a big Habitat for Humanity guy. He travels all up and down the East Coast building houses for Habitat for Humanity. And God brought us all together. Prior to that meeting, we had manpower. We had the place. We still didn't have any money. And prior to the meeting of all of these guys to get together to talk about building a house, we received a check in the mail from a friend of ours from another town. For $30,000. Now we've got the seed money to start building. So we got everybody together. We found out other people in the community were willing to donate. We probably, those two houses, the first one was built in 2003, the second one in 2005. We probably don't have $50,000 cash total in either individual building over there. All of the rest of the things that are in those houses, the heating and cooling and water and the plumbing and all of those things, all of that stuff was donated by people in the community. Both of those houses were built in blitz fashion. About 80% of each one of those homes was built in one day. We had people, 60, 70 people on site between there and eating in the fellowship hall all day long, building those houses. Houses, of course, have ongoing expenses, just like your house does. Those houses need electricity. They need plumbing. They need water all the time. Strangely, since COVID has hit, we haven't had a whole lot of activity over there in the last couple of years. But the houses are ready anytime anybody in our community needs them. And we've expanded the use of those houses to go beyond just disaster, things like that. Jake Shalinsky actually spent some time over there when he first came to the United States. I don't know if you remember, he came just prior to the shutdown. He got into the United States and the world shut down. And he had trouble getting back home, and so he was here for much longer than he thought, and so we put him up over in Victory House over there. And then another young man who was needed to get out of a bad situation and trying to get his life right, and we were able to put him up for a couple of months over there while he got his life together. But these houses are here in the community, in the outreach center over there with furniture for the community, anybody that needs it over there. And all of those buildings were all built debt-free, just like everything else that we own here. And it's your gifts, your faithfulness, your support that has made all of that possible. The eighth ministry I'll share with you today is the Blue Ridge Pregnancy Center that gives compassionate care to pregnant women in our community at absolutely no charge. Whether it's sonograms, counseling, referrals, prayer, baby supplies, anything that they can do to meet the needs of young mothers, the Blue Ridge Pregnancy Center is there to do it. And they do it all from a pro-life perspective and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. They know that the key to saving children is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how babies are saved. That's how souls are saved. It's all about Jesus. And that's what they do over there. Back when they were vandalized a month or so ago, the leaders of our church got together and we decided we needed to send them, in addition to the monthly support that we send to them, we sent them an extra $1,000 to help them get things put back together over there. And they were very appreciative of that. The next ministry, the ninth one, the newest one actually to our church, is the Red Truck Ministry. Red Truck Ministry. Why is it called the Red Truck Ministry? It's called the Red Truck Ministry because the ministry is basically run out of an old Coca-Cola truck. And the Baptist Association in Lynchburg have taken this old Coca-Cola truck and they've refit it so that they can go into various places and communities in the city of Lynchburg and go and park. They let people know they're going to be in the area. And they give away food to the people in the area, dried goods, canned goods, I think even meat from Hunters for the Hungry are supplied through them to the people of the community. 9 months of the year, for 5 days a week, those 9 months, Monday through Friday, they will go to 6 locations in the city and be there for people who need help. All of this is about building relationships with the people of the community in order to ultimately earn the right to speak into their lives and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. That's what it's ultimately all about. It's not just putting food on a table, but it's putting a Savior in a heart. And that's what they're all about, and that's what they're wanting to do. And so we have begun to support them. About 2 months ago, we heard of some needs that they had over there. And so we sent them, in addition to the monthly support, we sent them an extra $1,000 to help them buy some things that they needed to replace or fix or to expand their ministry. I received this letter from them in the last couple of weeks. It says, "Dear Pastor Parrish and VCF family, the Red Truck Ministry is in its 6th year of operation, and you have been a huge part of its success. Thank you so much for keeping us in mind and sending extra funds to purchase items needed to replace or used to expand. The core of what we do has always been to be the hands and heart and the voice of God to our community. This ministry crosses every barrier you can name for its businesses, individuals, churches, and community organizations that witness the work that is beyond our understanding. It is God at work. Thank you for investing in this ministry and for investing in people that you will not see or meet this side of heaven, but they will be there in his service, the Red Truck Ministry." The 10th ministry I want to share with you is one that we have not officially started to support yet financially, but we're going to. We're going to start in September to support another ministry, local ministry here. And it's a ministry called Agape Lynchburg. Agape Lynchburg is a ministry that is run out of a building over on Carroll Avenue. And the building is set up like a little store over there. And they have rooms with men's clothing and women's clothing and household items and laundry detergent and soaps and all kinds of things that people would need over there. They also have a big warehouse with furniture, used furniture for people in the community. The ministry is run by people from a number of different churches. A number of different volunteers from a number of different churches meet together to run Agape Lynchburg. It's only open a couple of days a week. But they service over 100 families every month from the Lynchburg community. When the people go in to get things over there, they don't just go in and take stuff and leave. Every person who goes into Agape Lynchburg is assigned a counselor. And that counselor sits down with them and talks with them about the things that they're going through, how they happen to be in a position of need and what's going on in their life and how can we pray for you. And as opportunity arises, they always, always share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the people that come in over there. And then they go through, you get a little cart, just like you're at Walmart, you get a little cart and you go into the different rooms and you get the things that you want and you take it into the last room and you put them on the counter. And the people look at the things that you've got and they keep records, they keep detailed records of everything and everyone that goes through the door over there. You put your stuff on the counter there, they bag it up for you, then a volunteer takes your bags to your car for you. And again, they keep all kinds of records of the things that are there. They treat people in the community, people who are hurting, people who are in need, people who might be embarrassed to ask for help. They treat these people with dignity and respect. They show them the love of Christ, and they always share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so our intent in September is to make them the 10th ministry that we support on a monthly basis here at Victory Christian Fellowship. And let me just say, my time is almost up, but let me just say a few things about these ministries, particularly these local ministries. Just because these ministries are not run from our facility doesn't mean they are not a part of our church. In fact, as we support them financially, they are a part of our outreach here at Victory Christian Fellowship. But beyond that, the Blue Ridge Pregnancy Center, the Red Truck Ministry, and Agape Lynchburg are always looking for volunteers to help them with things. They are all receiving donations that need to be sorted through and separated and checked on to be sure they're all right. And there are various ways in each of these ministries that you could serve at your leisure. You don't have to commit to every day. You don't even have to commit to every week. If you just want to do a couple hours a month, you can go to any one of these three ministries, the Red Truck or Blue Ridge Pregnancy or Agape Lynchburg, and say, hey, I'm here. I've got a few hours. What can I do to help you out? And you can volunteer and you can be involved. And I would encourage you to do that. Treat it just like we were running it out of our own facility. Realize that it's an outreach to our community. And go see those people and see what you can do to be a part to help them reach out through their ministry. The Blue Ridge Pregnancy Center actually has a prayer room over there. They would love for people just come over there and just sit and pray for their ministry. If that's what you feel like the Lord wants you to do, you're welcome to do that at the Blue Ridge Pregnancy Center. And they would count it an honor for you to come over there and spend some time in prayer for them and with them. So I encourage you to consider volunteering to these ministries. In addition to all these ministries that we support on a regular basis, from time to time, we help people in the community with pay utility bills and things like that. Now, we don't give cash to anybody. We don't feel like that's wise. We always check up on people as much as we can before we write a check to the utility company, not to them. Sometimes it's people that you know. Sometimes you have come to us and said, hey, I know a family that is in need. Can you help out? And boy, that's the best way, really, because I've got some confirmation that this really is a family in need and this really is a place where we can give and it'll really be a blessing and serve a purpose. But we pay utility expenses for people in the community. I just need to say this before I wrap up this morning. I've spent the whole hour sharing with you all about all of the ministries that we support and the literally tens of thousands of dollars that this little church gives away every year in outreach to help people in our community and around the world. But I want you to know that there is a priority where we are concerned, even over these ministries that we support. And that priority is you. That priority is you. And any time you should ever find yourself in a situation where, hey, it happens to all of us, things go off the rails. And sometimes you can control it, and most of the time you can't. But if you ever find yourself in any kind of need, please know that Victory Christian Fellowship is here to help you. I want to close with one last verse of Scripture, if I can find it real quickly, from the book of Galatians in the 6th chapter. Paul says this in Galatians 6 and verse 10. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. You are our household. You are our family. And as much as we love supporting all of these ministries, you are our priority. And if you ever find yourself in need, we hope that you will come to us and allow us to help you in that situation in your life. We're a tiny little church. It's always the mega churches that make the news. Can I say something to you today? Just because we're not a mega church doesn't mean we can't do a mega work. And it's because of your faithful and generous support we're able to do all of the things that we're able to do beyond our walls at Victory Christian Fellowship. And for all of those who have been blessed, all of those who have been touched through our outreach ministries at Victory Christian Fellowship, for all of those people that one day we're going to meet in heaven, on their behalf, let me just say to you, thank you for your support of our ministry. Let's pray together. Father, Becky and I are just so grateful for the precious people that you have brought to Victory Christian Fellowship. We thank you for their support, Lord, that makes all of these outreaches possible. Thank you for these ministries that serve beyond our walls, our community, our nation, and our world. Thank you for all of those that have been touched and those that have been saved because of these outreach ministries that we support. And thank you, Lord, for these precious people that come to this church week after week, who give so generously and give so faithfully, that make all of this outreach possible. Lord, would you return back to them 30, 60, 100 fold all that they have sacrificed to give for you and the sake of your kingdom in this world. And help us, Father, both as individuals and collectively, to continue to look for ways to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with everybody that we know beyond our walls. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.